Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Metzia Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Mem Vov. You'll notice that at the beginning of the line it says V'chein Omar Ula. Rashi points out that the word V'chein, even though when you translate it, it would mean and thusly says Ula, which would give you the impression that this is a continuation of that which appeared immediately before, not so in this case. The V'chein Omar Ula, Rashi says, goes back to the machlokus between Rav and Levi concerning the use of a coin as the catalyst for a kinyan chalipin, as we would use the sudar, the fabric or handkerchief, as we described extensively in our previous shiur. On the side of the Gemara in the margin, we have the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Diyun, a discussion, B'shitas Ula, De'omar Ein, Matbea Naase Chalipin. Ula, adopting the shita that we, one of the shitas that we saw before, that a coin cannot be used as the means of effecting a kinyan chalipin. We're not going to give a full introduction simply because this is a continuation of the topic that we delved into in our previous shiur. So we're assuming that if you're a first-time listener, you will by all means stop this recording and listen to our previous shiur in order to appreciate what we're learning now. So as we turn to the Gemara, we see a list of opinions that all say the same, that rule the same way. V'chein Omar Ula Ein Matbea Naase Chalipin. V'chein Omar Rav Asi Ein Matbea Naase Chalipin. V'chein Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan Ein Matbea Naase Chalipin. And now you notice a new marking, a triangle. We still have a long marking of a long question. The triangle is explained on the side under our Mivneh heading. And note that this goes ad sofa mitbeis. It's a very long, keeping track, a long ma'akav. The point facing up, kushios ula, represents questions on ula, and the inverted triangle, tshuvos, responses. So ula, who opened up today's Gemara, said that the coin cannot function as the sudar, as the mechanism to effect a kinyan chalipin. Esve Rabbi Abba Lu'ula. Rabbi Abba raises an objection. Hare shehoyu chamorav upolav toivin oisoy bashuk. There's a man that had hired workers. Chamorav are donkey drivers, polav, other workers, and they are seeking their pay. Tovin, they're trying to collect from this man their salary, their wage. V'omar l'shulchani, and the man says to a money changer, Tain li b'dinor moz v'farnesem, provide for me a dinor worth of cash, and I will pay these workers. V'ani ele l'chol yofe dinor utresis mimoz sheyesh li b'beisi. And I will pay you the dinor and tresis. Tresis is a small coin. So you'll provide for me a dinar of ready cash, and I will return to you a dinar plus traces in payment. And I'll pay you the dinar and traces, mimos sheshu v'beisi, for monies that I have in my house. The thinking right now concerning the term yofa dinar, Rashi explains, means a dinar coin that is yotze v'hitzah, means it's It has a currency value. It's easily spent. The tresis is a mal katana, small coin. The source goes on to say in the Gemara, in Yeshlo Mois, if this man has that cash, mutter, then this arrangement is allowed. If he has in his house a dinar tresis, this arrangement is allowed. The im lav also, and if not, it would be prohibited. Very simply, because if he doesn't have the cash, then what just took place? A loan. The Shulchani loaned this man money, and sometime later he'll come up with the funds and he's going to give him more. That's called ribis, that's called interest, which is strictly prohibited. The Gemara continues, V'i salka daitach ein matbea nase chalipin. If you are to think that the drawing of the coins from the money changer does not create an immediate transfer of the monies this man has in his house. Let's repeat that. If you're going to say ein matbea nase chalipin, that the drawing of the coins does not create an immediate transfer of ownership of the money of this man, this man's monies that are in his house, back to the Shulchani, then what you have is a loan. In other words, the man with his workers drew the money from the Shulchani. No immediate transfer or payback of the monies that are in his house. When is the payback? Some later time. When he goes to his house and pays the Shulchani with the money, well then in the meantime you have a loan situation. And as we indicated before, he's paying back more than he received. That's called interest. That would be prohibited. If you say that there was an immediate transfer of money, then you're not involved with a problem of a loan, because a loan is that which incorporates a time delay before the repayment. If the money in this man's house is transferred immediately to the Shulchani, to the money changer, there was no time delay. And in a case like that, I get from you something worth X, I can give you back immediately something worth X plus 1. That's not a problem of a loan. A loan and the prohibition of interest is only when the payback is as a result of a time delay, a waiting factor, waiting for the payback. So what do we see from here? That since this was allowed, the source said, "Im yesh lo mois mutter, if he has money in the house, then this arrangement is allowed." It must be that there was an immediate transfer. How did that immediate transfer take place? By drawing the coins of the Shulchani. That's matbea na sechalipin. That's against what Ula said. Ishtik. Ula remained silent. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le, dilmo idi v'idi, bifrototois, shanu deleka olayu tiva, v'idi v'idi pira havu. So Rabbi Abba suggests to Ula, who remained silent, he said, you know, maybe the the deal here with this man and the workers and the Shulchani did not involve coins at all. It rather involved prototos. What are prototos? They are unminted copper discs, similar to the term asimon that we saw in our previous year, which was a piece of unminted silver. So that maybe he was paying his workers with these unminted copper discs. Lekolayotiva means there's no imprimatur on them. And he was paying back with prototos. So that what was in effect, as the Gemara says, happening, was an exchange of pira. Edividi pira havu. What the man was drawing from the Shulchani is not coins. It's pira literally, or fruits, portables, items, not cash. So, in a case like that, you can hold, for example, that ein matbea nase chalipin, but drawing an item, a portable, that does create chalipin. So I take from you pira. What the pira that I have in my possession becomes yours immediately. That's a standard example of Kinyan Chalipin. So maybe that's what took place. Omar Leyin. So it would appear then that Ula says, you're right. And Daikonami Dikotoni, if you read the source carefully, you can see that, in fact, the deal did not involve coins. It said, Yofa Dinor Traces. That was the term that you saw in the source. Velokotoni Dinor Yofa Vitraces. Had the term been Dinor Yofa, that means a good Dinor coin. A popularly accepted Dinor coin and a traces, but it doesn't say that. It said rather Yofa Dinor Traces means a Dinor Traces worth of these discs, these unminted copper coins. Shma Mino. So from the language of the source, it is revealed that we were not dealing with coins to begin with. So at this point, just to review, Ula can maintain his position that Ein Matbea Nase Chalipin, and in the source where we saw there was an immediate transfer of things, that's because we weren't dealing with coins. Ravashi Omar Li Oilam Bidomim U Bi Protitos. The source is describing a kinyan of domim, meaning it's a value payment and not chalipin. It was not a case of instant transfer, but rather the shulchani offered protitos, unminted copper discs, and the man with the workers drew those discs. We're not saying that there was that was a drawing of a kinyan chalipin. It was rather a drawing of these copper discs with a given value to them, and the man with the workers was going to pay back with copper discs a value payback. And you might ask, well, but wasn't he giving back more than he received? Isn't that a problem of ribis? So the Gemara explains, Kevon de Islay, since this man had in his possession the discs that he would use to pay back, since he was already in possession of them, the problem that we associate with ribis, naming the waiting factor, doesn't play a role here. Why? Nase ka'omer, it's as if he said, Halveni, loan me the items, loan me the discs, ad yavoi bini, o ad shemsem aptech, until my son comes back who has access to my discs, that I'll use to pay you back, or until I find the key. In other words, as far as the borrower is concerned, he would be willing to pay back immediately, and he has the potential of paying back immediately. It's just that they're in his house, they're far away. And it's similar to a case of someone who says, would you loan me something, and I'm going to pay you back more, and I have the means, I'm in possession of it, it's just that I don't have a key to get to it right now. Or my son knows where it is, and he'll take it out for you. So that, in potential, the payback could have been immediate, and as a result of that, even if you're not dealing with an instant transfer of the goods, but since the goods could be paid back immediately, just there was a mitigating factor that prevented that. For example, they couldn't find the key, or they were in his house that was down the block, that wasn't right here, you didn't have immediate access to it, but there wasn't a built-in time delay factor to the loan itself. And as a result, there is no ribis problem. Let us look at Rashi toward the bottom, seven lines up from the bottom. Ravashi Omar, the Olimba Protitos, he. It was, in fact, the Tanaic source involved the exchange of copper discs. Kidakamris, as you said before, Mithkomar Yofadina, from the expression in the source, it indicated a dinar's worth of something and not coins. Miutaim Olav Mishum Dinikna Bechalipin, the heter, or the arrangement there, was not a function of the transfer through the Chalipin immediate transfer method. Even if they had agreed that the discs have a certain value, and I'm borrowing your discs with that particular value, ein kan ribis daganotele. You don't have the problem of interest that's usually paid for waiting till payback. When you deal with standard loans in banks and other agencies, you're borrowing money and willing, and the one who's lending the money is willing to wait till he gets his money back, but in exchange for his willingness to wait, you are going to pay him more. That's not the case over here. Shafilu halva, even in a case of a loan, im yeshlo bebeso, if the borrower has the means of paying back the loan right now in his possession, mutu lo seislo oidef, you're allowed to return more than you received. Davile halveni ad shiyavu bini, it's like the scenario of loan me until my son comes back and he'll give you the payback. But I have the means right now of paying back. We continue in the Gemara. Toshma. And again, we have a triangle point facing up indicating a question on Ula. Kol hanase domim ba'achir. Kevon shezocha ze nischayev ze bechalipov. That's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Personally, I think it's a bit obscure, and the Gemara labors to explain it. The expression that opened up this source, Kol hanase domim ba'acher, mai nihu. What is meant by that expression? Now, the thinking right now, Kol hanase domim ba'acher, Rashi says, it means to say, Kol haragil, Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Kol haragil liois nitan domim ba'acher. That which is commonly used as offering as payment in exchange for another item. What is customarily used as payment? Dainu matbea. Coins are customarily used as payment. So the opening of this source speaks of a coin. The source opened kol hanase domen bacher, namely a coin. What does it go on to say in the source? Once one takes the coin, and so the exchange is effected immediately. The chalipin exchange. You drew the coin, so the item that you have that's transferred to me. Ushmami no matbeanase chalipin. From what we just described, the drawing of the coin causing the immediate transfer of the goods. That is a coin serving as the catalyst for chalipin, and that's a problem for Ula. The language of the sources of Nischayev Zeh B'Chalipin, Rashi explains, if Chalipin took place, and in this case, you drew my coin, and in exchange for drawing my coin, I get your cow. Did I do a kinyan on the cow? Did I draw the cow itself? No. But the cow becomes mine. And as a result, if the cow were to drop dead now, after the cow owner drew my coin, it would be my loss, because the cow became mine as soon as he drew the coin. That's Nischayev Zeh B'Chalipin. And we see from here, Shema Mino, Mat Ben Asa Chalipin, we see from here that a coin serves as the medium for creating a kinyan chalipin, as we said, that's a problem for Ula. Omar Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda answers on behalf of Ula's position. Hochi ka Omar. Thusly, we are to understand that source. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kol hanishoim domim be'acher. All things that are usually subjected to assessments. If I give you something as payment for something, but it's not cash, it's something whose value was assessed, and I give it to you, so you know you're receiving a certain amount of value, what are we describing in simple terms? All items, all portables, All portables are potentially subject to assessment. If I am willing to pay you with an item, so it says in this source, Kevon Shizochazeh Nischayevzeh Bechalipin. When you draw the metaltalin, the portable, the item that is ordinarily assessed, when you draw it, and I give it to you in the context, not as payment. What we just described that's usually assessed, that's items that are commonly assessed and often used as a form of payment. All of that talk simply describes metaltalin. Portables have that characteristic. Now, if I offer the portable in the context of a kinyan chalipin, where you draw the item, I will immediately gain ownership of that which is in your possession that we agreed to transfer. So that people might offer I might give you a pen in exchange for your sports car. The pen that you take from me is assessed it's often assessed. Not that I need the assessment in this particular case, because in this particular case, you're taking the pen not as a means of payment, but as a means of creating a kinyan chalipin, an immediate transfer of the sports car. So you draw the pen, I become the owner of your sports car. And that's what the source means when we say, Kevan shezochazen is chayev zeh b'chalipin. When you draw the portable that we described as nishon dom b'acher, I become the owner of that which I'm trying to acquire in exchange. Hochi nami mistabro. It's also most likely that we're not talking about a coin in this source. Midikotoni seifa. The continuation of this source says as follows. Ketzad. What is an illustration of what was said till now? Hichlif shor. An example is someone is exchanging his ox for someone else's cow, or exchanging his donkey for someone else's ox. Shma mina. So the fact that is the illustration of the resha of the beginning, where the original source said kolanas sedom v'acher, you realize we're not dealing with coins from the very beginning. So as far as any kasha on ula from this kiddushin, the source from Masech's kiddushin called Naseh Adom B'Macher, no question at all, it's not dealing with the drawing of a coin to create a kinyan chalipin. And why? Because as ula said, Ein Matbea, Naseh Chalipin. You notice we have a long bracketed section. These brackets are truly invaluable. After the brackets, you notice once again a triangle appears with the point facing up, indicating a new question on Ula. We have a starred note above in the margin that reads, Ad Soif HaSograyim HaGemor Mevareres Eich Hoyinu Loimdim HaMishu B'Kiddushin Lefi Ahavamina DeMatbea Naaseh Chalipin. The Gemara analyzes, and this is something that doesn't often happen in the Shas, but it analyzes what's called the Havamina. How were we originally thinking, or according to the way we were originally thinking, how would you make sense of the continuation of the source? In other words, we originally thought that the source spoke about the drawing of a coin, creating Chalipin. And then, to illustrate it, it talked about something else. It said Hichlif Shor B'Por. There was no mention of a coin in the continuation of the source, which was supposedly to illustrate the beginning. But if the beginning was talking about the drawing of a coin to create the instant transaction, the Kinyan Chalipin, why doesn't the illustration, in fact, illustrate that very example? After the brackets, you'll see that the Gemara picks up its question style on Ula, which will be followed by an inverted triangle two lines later. You can see this by just giving your bird's eye view of the daf. Now, hopefully, having laid out the Gemara structure, let us go through the bracketed section, once again, emphasizing that we're going back to an analysis of what we originally thought. In effect, we're asking, was that which we originally thought even tenable? Could you have advanced? Could you have even thought that to begin with? We originally looked at that source from Maseches Kiddushin that said, Karnas Sedomim Be'acher, and our first thinking was, there you see a coin being used as a method of creating a Kinyan Chalipin. And then you read on in the source, Ketzad, and how is that? And then you don't see any further reference to a coin. So the question then is, how could you have even advanced that initial thinking that the beginning of the sources were dealing with a coin? Now the Gemara. Ulamai desolek adaite meikara matbea. And according to that which we originally thought, that the source was dealing with a coin. My Ketzad. How do you make sense of the continuation of the source vis-a-vis the example given therein? The example doesn't match the original point. The Gemara answers, Hachi Komar. What the source is saying is as follows. You have to read between the lines, or you have to add to the source that which is not stated explicitly. Upeiri nami avdi chalipin. The source opens up by saying, according to what we originally thought, that a coin can enable a Kinyan chalipin to take place. And peri food items, fruits and meat, food items also, they're classified as peri, also can serve as the sudar, or can be upon being drawn, you create immediate transfer. That's a Kinyan Chalipin, regardless of issues of actual value of things. So the source is telling me, in addition to the coin, which could serve as the instrument of Chalipin, Peiri also, Ketzad, and an illustration of that is forthcoming, Hechlif, Shor, Beporo, O Chamor, Beshor. The Gemara says, okay, that's a fine attempt in making sense of the source according to our Salka Daitich, our Havamina. Honichol Rav Sheshes, Diomar Peri Avdi Chalipin. That works out well according to Rav Sheshes' approach that says food items can also effectuate a Kinyan Chalipin. By drawing on a food item, the other party's goods are immediately transferred to you. Elol Rav Nachman Yamar Kli in Avoperi Lo Avdi Chalipin. According to Rav Nachman, only vessels, articles, not food items, articles can be used to create the Kinyan Chalipin. You draw on a vessel. Draw on a pair of scissors, on a stapler, and by your drawing on the stapler, I gain possession of your kitchen chairs. That's an example of a Kinyan Chalipin using a vessel. You drew my stapler, but food not. So my Ketzad, the source illustrates a Kinyan Chalipin, but it goes to food items. It said, it talked about animals, doesn't talk about utensils or vessels. Hachi Komar. So the source would have been understood in our original Hava Amina terms according to Rav Nachman in the following way. Yesh domim shehein kechalipin. There are cases of value payment that the deal acts or operates in the same way as a king in Chalipin. This is a bit obscure until we go into the continuation of the Gemara, but primarily we'll understand this through the Rashi. So we'll read a couple more words of Gemara, and only by learning the Rashi will we begin to be able to understand this. So we have a source that says that there are cases of value payment where you're transferring ownership of an item whose value is assessed, and the party who draws your item happens to also have an item that you are interested in acquiring, and we will see that through taking the item whose value is known, the other party's item whose value is also known will be transferred to you without your doing an additional kinyan on that item you are expecting in exchange. And that's what the Gemara says, Ketzad hichlif demei shor bepora, o demei chamor beshor. And then we look at the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is a little bit, about halfway down the page. Ketzad hichlif demei shor bepora, mochar lo shor bekach vekach mos. I, Mr. A, sold to Mr. B an ox, expecting, we'll say, a cash payment for it sometime later. Bekach vekach mos means the sale of the shor was at a certain money rate, certain value. Umoshach es ha-shor, v'nischayev lo ha-mos. The customer drew the shor and becomes obligated to pay, eventually to pay cash for that. Omer lo ha-lokeach. The purchaser says to the original owner of the shor, Pora yeshli shani noisein loch b'demei ha-shor. I happen to have a cow that is of the same value as the shor that you just sold me. V'niyosu yachad, and they agreed, you know, the ox seller agreed to take the pora as payment. V'kibolov, and he accepted that upon himself. Nischayev bala pora losos lo sapora. At the point they agree, the owner of the cow, this is the guy who just bought the ox, the owner of the cow becomes obligated to transfer ownership of the cow to the former ox owner. And neither one can back out. In other words, the deal was clinched. Let me ask you, did you see any kinyan done to the para? Did you see any act of acquisition vis-a-vis the para? No. V'hochi komar, and what the source is telling us is, kol hanishem domen b'achir. All things that are subject to assessment, kol hamatatalin, she'odom shom l'chavero, v'noisen le shumas demen, b'shvil chefetz achir shehoi lo lalokeach. All items that are whose value is assessed, whose value is known, and they're given to from party A to party B, and it's done so with the expectation that party A will receive from party B another item that customer had. Kevan shezochaze lokeach rishon b'metalton rishonim shemoshon, when the first fellow, the original customer, drew that portable. Ve'afilu b'toras domim amanas lahaknois lo chefet shelo b'domim, and he drew that item with the intent of paying for it, but not in cash, of paying for it in exchange for another item of equivalent value. Nischayev ze lokeach sheni b'chol einzei achalipin. The second customer becomes obligated to absorb any loss that might befall that item even before he took actual physical possession of it. Because the value that he had expected to receive in exchange for the item, for that first item that he transferred over from Mr. A to Mr. B, and Mr. B's consent to give back another item to Mr. A, that clinches the deal. Mr. A becomes the owner of that item. Ketzad, Rashi goes on, Hichlif Demei Shor Bepara, Shom, that means evaluate or assessed, Lo Hashor Bedomin. An ox was evaluated, money value wise. Al Menas Sheyitein Loze Pora Ba'oison Mois, with the intent that in exchange for receiving the shor, that customer will give a cow worth the money that he was expected to pay for when buying the shor. Kana, that clinches the deal. And now we want to emphasize, the deal is clinched, and that second item becomes owned by the original seller. Let me point out that in general, when I pay, let's say the following. There's another way of looking at this whole story. A man used his ox as a means of payment for the cow. Can we agree on that? Just to repeat, a man used his ox as a means of paying for the cow. Let me ask you this. If I pay you for the cow with cash, I offer you cash ahead of time, and you draw the cash, do I become an owner immediately of your cow? I paid you cash for the cow. Do I become the owner of it? No. We say that mois ein kainos. So what we have to consider right now, according to Rav Nachman, why is it that if you were to pay cash for the cow, you don't become an immediate owner of it? But if you use an ox to pay for the cow, once you take the ox, I become the owner of the cow. How are we to understand that? So now we turn back to the Gemara. My taimei de Rav Nachman. What is the reason for Rav Nachman saying that a payment in this fashion clinches a deal, when in general we say that a cash payment doesn't clinch a deal? The Gemara answers. You'll notice diamonds. The diamonds are used to highlight a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, and later Reish Lakish, but we don't have to emphasize that right now. Simply, how does Rav Nachman understand the immediate effectiveness of this kinyan when you're offering an ox as payment for the cow, creating an immediate transfer of the cow, whereas money wouldn't work like that? So now, Sovar Law, note the long answer, Sovar Law Kareb Yochanan, Diomar Devar Torah Mois Koinis. Rav Nachman adopts Rav Yochanan's approach, that on a strictly Torah level, a cash payment for an item would clinch a deal. Why is it that we know that only drawing a portable clinches the deal? Money paid in advance for the portable does not clinch a deal. Why is that? Why did the rabbi say that? When on the one hand the Torah says that paying cash itself for an item would clinch the deal and neither party could back out, the rabbis moved in and say, not so. Paying money will not clinch the deal. The deal is clinched only when you draw the item. So the answer to that is, Gezeira Shema Yoimar Lo Nisrifu Chitecho Baliya. The rabbis intervened to create a security policy for purchasers. Imagine if I pay money for an item and I become the actual owner of it. I pay you, let us say, I pay a grain producer for wheat. If the deal is clinched, so we'll call him the farmer, has the money, he now profited, got money for wheat. The wheat isn't his anymore. The deal is clinched. We would say that the wheat now becomes the customer's possession. Imagine a fire would break out and threaten the wheat. Would that farmer have any motivation to save the wheat? Nope. It's not his. The rabbi's saying, you know what? You got money for it, but the deal is not clinched. The customer could back out. The wheat will remain yours. Not only that, but imagine the value of the wheat would increase. Wouldn't you be happy that the deal wasn't clinched by receiving the money? You'd prefer give back the money, and now you have wheat that's more valuable. So that serves as a motivation to the farmer, to the wheat producer, or to the owner of any portable that's being sold, to respond under the threat of a fire to save the item. So the rabbis said that paying cash does not clinch deals, because otherwise vendors would have no motivation to preserve items in the face of a fire. So rabbis make their rulings umilsa d'shichah gazru be'rabbanan, common type deals. In general, rabbis act to issue rulings dealing with common cases. Common transactions involve paying money for items. So the rabbi said, we don't want the money, cash payments to clinch deals. Milsa de lo shicha lo gozu be'rabbanan. However, paying for items with other items, paying for the cow with a shor, with an ox, that's unusual. The rabbis didn't intervene in unusual situations. So they left it as the letter of the law. So the payment for the cow, in terms of being offered an ox, as soon as the cow owner draws the ox, the cow ownership is transferred to the other party. It's an immediate transfer. But I want to emphasize again, this is not a function of a kinyan chalipin, because we're dealing here with Shitas Rav Nachman, that peri lo abdi chalipin, animals come under the category of peri, of food items. They do not they do not get transferred using peri as a means of creating an instant transfer in the form of chalipin, which doesn't have anything to do with actual value. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about a value payment. Instead of cash being paid for the cow, an ox of equivalent value was being paid for the cow. And in cases like that, the deal is clinched immediately upon the drawing of the ox, or the drawing of the original item by way of the first customer. So up till now, we've explained the source from Maseches Kiddushin, which read Kol Anas Sedomim Ba'Acher Kevin Shezochez Nischayv Zeh B'Chalipin, with its example of Ketzad. We've explained it in accordance with Rav Nachman all along, following what we term the original thinking of what the source was talking about. It's true that in this Rav Nachman approach, we weren't working with the opening of matbea, but rather kol hanishon domei b'achir, portables that are subject to assessment. But we had to make sense of the seifa, the continuation of the source, through the eyes of Rav Nachman. We continue with further analysis in light of other opinions. According to Reish Lakish, who disagrees with Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish holds that the drawing of items is the Torah expectation for clinching deals on portables, namely, money does not work. Only the drawing of items clinches deals on portables. So the source then in that we read before, we can't explain the source as far as Reish Lakish is concerned with the idea of the shor being used as a payment, as a value payment for the parah, and thereby clinching the deal. You don't acquire the cow unless you draw the cow. Simply by being paid for the cow, according to Reish Lakish, that's not going to transfer ownership of the cow. You've got to draw it. How would Reish Lakish then understand that Kiddushin source? Ha nicha, things will work out well. E sovar lo kirav sheshes, mitaretz lo kirav sheshes. If Reish Lakish holds, like Rav Sheshes, that peiri avdi chalipin, that you can create a chalipin transfer using non-vessels, food items, so he will explain the source like Rav Sheshes explained the source, namely, that the source opens up with a coin can make a chalipin, as we saw originally, our Havamina, and peiri nami avdi chalipin, and then the continuation of the source with its illustration illustrates how peiri nami avdi chalipin. So if Reish Lakish subscribes to Rav Sheshes' approach to things, that peiri avdi chalipin, we have a reasonable way to learn the source according to our Havamina. Eloi sovar lo kirav Nachmon. If Reish Lakish though subscribes to Rav Nachmon, the Yomar Peri Lo Avdi Chalipin, that food items cannot be used to create a Kinyan Chalipin, and rather you need to have a vessel. Umatbea Lo Kani, and paying coins, Reish Lakish's own Shita, that coins, and I dare say coins and value payment for items does not clinch deals. Then Heichi Mitaritz law. How will Rav Sheshes make sense of the source? Al Korchuch, therefore, we have to say Rav Sheshes Mitaritz law, that Rav Sheshes explains the source like Rav Sheshes did, that Peri Nami Avdi Chalipin, and that Rav Sheshes does not subscribe to Rav Nachmon, who rejects Peri from functioning as Chalipin. Now we continue, we mentioned before, a triangle with, again, a question on Ula, but we've been so long out of it, we've got to review what did Ula say originally. He said, Ein matbea nase chalipin. A coin does not create a kinyan chalipin. Here we're going to challenge that. Tanan, kol hametatalin, kainin ze es ze. The Omar Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish in explaining this source that said, all portables enable the transaction of one for another, and Reish Lakish says, "Vafilu kis mole mois, bekis mole mois." If I have a pouch of coins, and you draw my pouch of coins, I immediately become the owner of a pouch of coins that you have in your possession. So what do we see? We see that the drawing of coins creates immediate transfer of ownership. That's a Kinyan Chalipin involving coins. In other words, the coins were the instrument through which the immediate transfer took place. We answer Tirgama Rav Acha. Notice we have a long answer. Rav Acha explains Bediner Anka Ve'anigra. The pouches contain coins, but they're coins that have really been discontinued. They've been canceled by the authorities. And we'll explain what do we mean by anka v'anigra. Echad, one of these, is shepasato malchus. The empire has discontinued their use. Malchus is a governmental entity that in which many countries are covered. In the United States, you might parallel it to a federal government vis-a-vis the respective state governments. One of these is an example where the empire canceled the coins. V'echot shepasato medina, and the other pouch contains coins that were canceled by the individual country. So the transfer of these is not a transfer of coins. When Ula spoke about Ein Matbea Nasa Chalipin, that's a reference to coins that are currently used in commerce. Drawing them, Ula said, will not create an immediate clinching of a deal whereby an item is exchanged for the coin. Once again, that's a coin that's current, not a coin that's been canceled. Coins that have been canceled are viewed basically as utensils, as portables in general, not currency. The word currency, current, means something that's right now, that's currently accepted. The source and Reish Lakish's example of Kismolemos did not involve currency, but rather canceled coins. So the drawing of one is no different than my drawing from you a stapler, and you're getting in return the sports car. Why do I need two examples of canceled coins? And to drive home the point that neither one functions as currency. Utsrich, I need both examples. Diashmina pasata malchus, had we taught just the example of canceled by the empire. Mishum de lo sagi klal. That's not viewed as a coin anymore because it's not useful at all. Not here nor there. In the entire empire, it's not useful. Avo basalta medina, but a case where a particular country canceled the coin. De sagile medina achiti, where it still has currency value in another country. Emo akati matbeahu ve'ein matbea nikne bechalipin. I might have thought that it's still currency because it's useful in another country, and coins are not transferred through the chalipin method. Therefore, in addition to teaching me pasalto malchus, I had to teach you Pasalto Medina is also not viewed anymore as a coin, even though in another country it might still have currency value, and therefore it can be transferred through the Chalipin method. V'yashmina Pasalto Medina, and if we would have taught only Pasalto Medina as being not viewed as currency, Mishum de lo sagi lei lo bitsina v'lo befarhesya, when you're dealing with a local authority that canceled the coin, since it's of a more local nature, there's greater scrutiny. You wouldn't be able to pass it off as payment, certainly not in public, that's parhesia, not even in private. Avo basalta malchus, desagi lei betzina, in a case where the central government, the empire, had declared the coin canceled, invalid. So, in cases like that, people would continue using it in private. That's what the Sagi Lebetzin is, still useful in private. Emo akati matbeahu. I might have thought it still has the definition of currency. The ematbea nikne bechalipin, and coins are not capable of being transferred through the chalipin method. Sricho, therefore I have to inform you, in addition to pasalto medina, pasalto malchus also is considered canceled currency, no longer having the status of coins, and therefore lend themselves to the chalipin method of transfer. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.